We invite the Spirit to shape our minds through the reading of the Word, to shape us into the mind of Christ. First of all, John 12, verse 20 to 36. Now, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it. Anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice from heaven came, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up, "We've heard from the law that the Messiah will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man will be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus told them, "You're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they're going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light." When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. And from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of the Lord. So one of the favorite things of my job among you, my calling among you, is to be the annoying person who asks why. Like a little three-year-old who, when you tell them to put their shoes on, they say, "Why?" And then you say something, and then they say, "Why?" And you say something else, and they say, "Why?" And then you say, "Because I said so." It can be annoying to have somebody constantly ask why. But in this time in which you are asking, what is the next chapter of the life of Community Christian Reformed Church? It is so important that we keep going down to why are we here? What are we doing? What's the purpose to which God has called us into existence? Then you can ask a new pastor, come help us. We understand our calling. Help us with this. One of the ways to answer the question of why for any congregation of Jesus is to say, we are a community of the followers of Jesus. We are learning to stay in step with Jesus. We are learning to walk with and after Jesus. There's a couple of reasons why this happens, why people identify in this way. One is very subjective, and nevertheless, it's true. We follow Jesus because the Holy Spirit tells us to. There is something that works in our hearts that says to us, He's the one. He has the way to life. Now, we can argue with each other and we can try to convince each other, but for any of us who have tried to do that a lot, we know you can't argue someone into the kingdom of God. You know, I know, it's the work of the Spirit in our hearts that tells us Jesus is the one. Follow him. He is going on the way to life. Alongside of that, the testimony of the Holy Spirit is something a little bit easier to get our hands on. And that is that Jesus speaks to something very deep in our hearts. There have been many people who have argued against Christianity, who have mocked the church. And yet, there are very few people who have ever mocked Jesus. Jesus seems to universally command respect, even in Islam, that grew up in response to a misconception of who the church said God was. Even in Islam, they revere Jesus. Even the creators of The Life of Brian, the Monty Python comic group, when they created that movie, which some people said was so blasphemous, to mock the life of Christ and make a version of it that pokes fun at it, they said, we're not poking fun at Jesus. We actually quite admire Jesus. What we're making fun of is Christians. And I think we can take that. We can say, yeah, there's a lot in us that deserves to be poked fun of, even labeled as hypocritical. Jesus speaks to something very deep in the human condition. And in this passage, he speaks to at least two of the things that grab our hearts. He says, very truly in verse 24, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And then he goes on to explain, anyone who loves their life, who seeks to hold on tight to it, will lose it. While anyone who hates, and that's maybe a strong word, anybody who dismisses their life as something to be claimed and held on to, anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Two things that Jesus seems to be touching on is, first of all, our deep need to be in secure, loving, safe community. If a seed remains above ground, it remains a single, lonely seed. Seeds were not meant to be lonely. So if you plant them, they make more seeds. This is a picture of the beautiful life. We talk about human fruitfulness in having children. The Creator said to us when we were first made, be fruitful, multiply, take care of the earth, see it flourish. In the unfolding of the gospel, we see that fruitfulness is more than having children. Fruitfulness is living into God's own pattern of life for us and being part of a much bigger community. We have a deep desire to be part of a community. And Jesus says, if you follow me, that is, if you take the cross path, if you take up your own cross and follow me into death, you will find community. You will find a people. You will bear fruit, just as I am bearing fruit. The author of the letter to the Hebrews talks about the cross. He says, Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame. The cross, some people have said it's an odd thing. It's an instrument of torture that people wear around their necks. They wear them as earrings. I've got one on my ring. We make decorations out of an instrument of torture, like wearing an electric chair around your wrist. Jesus looked through the cross to a joy that was beyond the cross. He wasn't celebrating suffering. He wasn't celebrating misery, torture. He wasn't celebrating that. He was looking at it as a means to get to something beyond that. Joy. And the joy that he was celebrating is us. We are the joy of Jesus. We are the reason that he submitted himself to be buried, because he knew that if he buried himself like a seed, he would emerge from the ground a billionfold. We are the joy of Jesus. Jesus says, if you seek to hold on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you follow me and bury yourself with me, you will experience community, security, joy, all these things we look for in being a people. The second thing that Jesus touches on when he talks about this path that he's taking, which everybody around him says, Jesus, you're on the wrong path. When he says, no, I have seen the path laid out for me. It's the path of the cross. And the path of the cross is going to be an influential life. We long for community. We long to have influence. We long to live a life that makes a difference. Jesus says, if you want to make a difference, if you want to have a really effective life, submit to the burying. So, we remind ourselves what the burying is. I'm not encouraging any of you to end your life. The ending of human life is grief, it's sorrow. But the path of the cross is a different kind of burying. It's saying no to me. When I submit to the path of Christ, it's me saying with Jesus, not what I want, Father, but what you want. I let go of all of my agendas, all of my desire to be focused on, all my tendency to see the world as aimed at meeting my needs. The end of my seeing myself as the center of the universe. The journey of the cross is simply the journey of love. It's simply the journey of laying down your life, my life, for other people. And if other people is too broad a term, you can look at the person sitting next to you in the pew and say, I will lay down my life for you. I will give myself for you. The life of love, the life of agape, the New Testament word for love, is a life of sacrifice. We follow Jesus to the cross. We take up our own cross in order to say, this is the way to significant life. This is the way to have a meaningful life. Give yourself away. Now, some of you may have heard this as very, you know, highfalutin language. I want you to know that in my own journey, I feel this calling intensely. I notice in me and all around me a desire to be by myself. A couple of weeks ago, I was driving to church and I was sort of thinking about the day that was unfolding before me. And then I was thinking, and at the end of all that, I get to be by myself. And then it hit me. Oh, that's terrible. For my joy to sort of be, oh, I finally get to be by myself. And ever since then, I have felt the Holy Spirit turning a corner in me. True life is not in being by yourself, not in being by myself. True life is held in community. Community CRC with a capital C, but also small c, in community. True life, true human life, is being with people. As the Jewish philosopher said, all real living is meeting, connecting. We are the wealthiest people in the history of the world. And in that history of the world, we are the 1%. Now, I know you can think of the billionaires and trillionaires who are way richer than we are, and so we sometimes say we're just average people. There's nobody as wealthy as we are in the history of the world. And here's what astonishes me. Here's what we do with our wealth. We find ways to do without people. What do we do with all of our money? We find ways to be more and more independent. We don't have to rely on other people. We don't have to create community. We don't have to share. We don't have to ask the neighbor to borrow his snowblower. We have one of our own. We don't have to rely on a ride from people who have the only car in the village. We have two of our own. We use our wealth to make ourselves lonelier and lonelier. And so all around us are these messages: get more money so you don't have to depend on other people. Get enough money so that when you retire, you can not be indebted to the kindness of strangers. Get more so that you can be alone. And Jesus says, that's the way to hell. Loneliness is hell. And so Jesus says, if you follow me, if you pour out your life like me, if you pour yourself out for people around you, you will find community, and in community you will find life. The church is a sign to the world. Why should you keep coming to church? There's better music elsewhere. There's better preaching on YouTube. There's more comfortable chairs to sit in than these. And you've already paid for all that stuff. Now you've got to come here and pay for this. Why keep coming to church? Because we say to the world, in the face of all of these messages about what true life is, we say, no, Jesus tells us what true life is. We feel it here. We invest in this people because in other people is life. Jesus says, bury yourself and you will not be a lonely seed anymore. You will become a multitude of seeds. And then all these messages that surround us about significance. What is a significant life? Most of us, there have been studies that have looked into this. We celebrated the lives for a moment of a couple of our members this morning. And in reality, within two generations, those people will not be remembered. And that will be true for most of us. We strive so hard to make a name for ourselves. We strive so hard to be somebody. We strive so hard when someone challenges us to stand up for ourselves and say, I'm somebody, you're not going to do that to me. Make Tom great again. People, we will get all kinds of messages about what it means to have a significant, fruitful life. Jesus says, if you want a significant, fruitful life, follow me. I'm on the way. I lay down my life for other people, for you. And that is the most effective thing anyone can do. Will you pray with me? Lord God, thank you. Thank you for making it so clear to us. It was, in hindsight, it was clear in the Old Testament scriptures that the way of life was through sacrificial death of the Messiah, but we wouldn't have got it unless we saw it in Jesus. Thank you for pouring out your Holy Spirit that helps us, who helps us understand who Jesus really is. We pray that the way of Jesus may be alive and well in this place as a sign to many about how to find eternal life. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.